tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is a place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Before I get started, though, on the show today, you know, today will be actually a really good episode that I will be discussing. But I just wanted to just take a second or so to talk about the disaster that happened, the hurricane that happened in Jamaica this past week. How, oh man, you know, because I was born in Jamaica, and when I saw so many people, I mean, they lost their land, their home, and all this stuff, it's really touching. You know, this hurricane that hit Jamaica this past week was the highest category that Jamaica had ever seen. The last hurricane that damaged Jamaica the way it did was, if I'm not mistaken, was Hurricane Gilbert in 1988. Right, and that was the category 4 hurricane. So my heart goes out to my people in Jamaica. You know, I did talk to my family. My family, they are okay. You know, but one thing I've noticed about Jamaicans are very resilient type of people, right? And no matter what's going on in their lives, even though some of them lost their homes, some of them had lost their vehicle and all of that, the cars and stuff like that, they still have a great positive attitude, though. You know what I mean? And like I said, my heart goes out to them a lot. So now let's get started, okay? So today I'm touching a topic that's emotional, painful, and deeply human. I'm talking about Alzheimer's, when the mind slowly forgets yesterday, and sometimes even today. It's not just a memory loss. It's identity slipping, moments fading, and families fighting to hold on to the person they love. So the title of this episode is When Yesterday Fades, Understanding Alzheimer's. Before I get into the show deeply, I want to make something clear. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. But I've worked as a certified nurse assistant in the past. I've worked on an Alzheimer's unit, and this subject is personal to me. I've seen seniors who lived rich, powerful, beautiful lives, mothers, grandfathers, teachers, veterans, pastors, now in a place where memories come and go like waves. Some remembered every detail from childhood, the streets they played on, the food they ate, the songs they heard growing up. But they could not remember the face of their spouse sitting right across from them. They couldn't remember their own children's name. And that will break your heart in a different way, because love stays even when memory slips. So today, let's talk about Alzheimer's and with respect, love, knowledge, and compassion. So the first segment. Understanding the disease, okay? So Alzheimer's is not just forgetting where you put your keys. It's a medical disease that slowly destroys the brain function. It affects memory, thinking, judgment, personality, and eventually even the ability to speak and walk. The brain cells literally begin to die, like lights turn off in a house, one room at a time. In the early stages, people may seem just a little forgetful or confused, and family often mistake it for a normal aging. But over time, the confusion grows, and the person begins to lose the ability to manage everyday life. Alzheimer's is the most common cause of dementia. One million of people around the world are living it with a disease right now. This disease does not show mercy. Once it starts, it progresses slowly, step by painful step. Families watch someone they love fade, not physically at first, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It can change someone's behavior too. People may become irritable, paranoid, scared, or withdrawn. They are not trying to be difficult. Their brain is losing its ability to understand the world around them. Imagine waking up and not knowing where you are, who the people around you are, or even who you are. That's the reality many face every day. Alzheimer's eventually affect basic abilities, talking, swallowing, walking, and the person becomes fully dependent on others. This is why Alzheimer's is not just a disease of memory, it is a disease of dignity, identity, and independence. When we understand what this disease does, we approach it not with frustration, but with patience, compassion, and respect. And also, not only about the patients or the people that live with the disease, we also got to even talk about the family members as well, how they cope with their loved one with the disease, not knowing what to do. So, let's talk about Alzheimer's for a second, okay? The first known Alzheimer's patient. Let's talk about the history. So, the first known Alzheimer's patient was a woman named Augusta Dittor, admitted to a psychiatric hospital in 1901. She was only 51 years old, much younger than what people expect from memory loss. Her husband noticed dramatic changes. She forgot who she was, became confused, and could not form a clear thought. She often repeated, "I've lost myself," as she searched for words and face she once knew. Doctors were puzzled. Nobody fully understood what was happening to her mind. She struggled to speak properly, and her thoughts came out broken like shattered glass. She grew paranoid, suspicious, and scared, not knowing why her world seemed unfamiliar. Auguste was not just a patient. She was a real woman whose life slowly slipped away inside her mind. Nurses recorded her crying for her husband, confused why she couldn't remember his face. Imagine being young, healthy, and aware that your brain is betraying you. That was her reality. When she passed in 1906, her brain was preserved for study. Excuse me. Little did she know that her suffering would lead to understanding a global disease. Her life and struggle opened the world's eyes to something deeper than old age. Forgetfulness. Her story reminds us that Alzheimer's is not history. It's happening to families right now. And before, they used to call it Alzheimer's. They once called it old timers, because that's what they thought. It was just an old person disease. Right? Until this young lady, so young, when she was diagnosed, then they really had to take it serious about, you know what I mean? That's why they had to study her brain to see the cause of Alzheimer's. So Dr. Alois Alzheimer's, right? His discovery. So Dr. Alois Alzheimer's, he was a German psychiatrist and a neuropathologist. When Auguste died, he carefully examined her brain to search for answers. Under the microscope, he found strange clumps and tangled nerve fibers. These are now known as amyloid plaques and neurofibrillary tangles, hallmarks of Alzheimer's disease. He presented his findings in 1906 to other doctors, but few paid attention at first. The medical world didn't yet understand how big this discovery truly was. Alzheimer's research was slow to grow. It took decades before the world caught up. Eventually, his peers realized this was not normal aging. It was a disease destroying the brain. Dr. Alzheimer's didn't just identify a condition. He opened the door to understand memory itself. His work proved that mental decline is physical, not just emotional or spiritual. He gave families a language to describe what they were witnessing in loved ones. Result, his persistent millions of families today will still have no answers. Dr. Alzheimer's legacy is not just science. It's empathy and the determination to find the truth. His discovery reminds us that behind every big medical breakthrough, there's a human story and relentless. Imagine that, man. This man, this doctor, have discovered what was going on, right? And none of his peers didn't believe him. They just say, you know what, though? You're all right. I'm not going to even mess with that. And look, it took decades for the actual world to really talk about this disease as Alzheimer's disease, right? This disease is very powerful because I've worked with patients over the years. You know what I mean? Sometimes they know who you are. You know what I mean? They might remember you, or sometimes they might not remember you. I remember working with a patient one time, and this patient, very smart lady, right? You know, I think she was in maybe the first couple stages of Alzheimer's, and this woman would watch everything that you do, and this woman was so dang smart though, man, and I just love listening to a lot of them speak. Especially when they will speak about their past. You know, sometimes I just will listen to them and they just, you know what I mean? And they love talking about the past because sometimes they can remember things 40 years ago. But something that just happened just like yesterday, a lot of times they don't remember. So now, how Alzheimer's became recognized. From rare to global awareness. For many years after Dr. Alzheimer's discovery, the disease was thought to be extremely rare. Doctors believe only very elderly people develop severe memory loss. But as life expectancy increased worldwide, more cases began appearing. Families could no longer ignore the signs. Something deeper was happening. But what? So the 1970s and the 1980s became a turning point in Alzheimer's awareness. Medical organizations, researchers, and family started speaking publicly. The Alzheimer's Association was founded in 1980 to support families and push research. Suddenly, conversations about dementia were happening in living rooms, churches, and hospitals. What was once hidden in silence became public health issues. Support groups formed, caregivers found comfort in shared experience, and advocacy roles. Scientists began to receive funding to study the cause of potential treatments. Awareness grew as people realized this was not forgetfulness, it was a disease. Today, Alzheimer's is one of the most widely recognized neurological disorders in the world. This shift shows the power of awareness. Truth grows when people refuse to stay silent, right? And not just only Alzheimer's. Just say if people have no matter what, little small little issues, right? A lot of times it's good to actually talk about it. You know what I mean? Start a support group. If you have a family member that have Alzheimer's disease, there's nothing wrong with starting some kind of support group. You know what I mean? Because especially with the family members, a lot of times need support group. The spouse of that person that's living with Alzheimer's. I remember, right? I don't know who among y'all used to love to watch Good Times. That was one of my favorite TV shows from back in the day. So the young lady that portrayed Thelma on the show Good Times, she wrote a book. I can't remember the name of her book right now, but she wrote a book, and I read that book, right? Bernadette Stanley, that's the name, right? And she talked about her mom living with Alzheimer's, you know what I mean? And how difficult it was for her as a daughter, you know what I'm saying, and her sister to really deal with her mother with Alzheimer's disease. It's rough on family members also, man. And I do believe that these family members as well need the support group, people to talk to, help out, you know, because there's strength in unity and there's strength in a community. So brain changes, right? Let me explain that. Alzheimer's attacks the brain slowly, begins years before symptoms show. It destroys neurons, the brain cells responsible for thought, memory, and behavior. Plaques form between cells, blocking communication. Tangles build up inside cells, choking them from within. The hippocampus, the part of the brain responsible for storing new memories, is usually hit first. That's why early symptoms often involve recent memory loss. Over time, other parts of the brain shrink, including those responsible for speech and movement. Eventually, even breathing and swallowing become difficult. Alzheimer's doesn't just erase memories. It rewires the brain's ability to interpret reality. A person may not recognize their loved ones or familiar places. They might become frightened or agitated because their brain can't make sense of the world anymore. This is why patience and reassurance matter. Confusion is terrifying to live through. When we see the brain's physical damage, we realize Alzheimer's is not a choice or weakness. It is a disease attacking the most precious organ we have in mind, right? So, like I said, right, Alzheimer's just doesn't erase memories, right? It rewires the brains, right? The brain ability to interpret reality. Because there's plenty of times, too, right, when I was working in a nursing home and taking care of patients who had dementia or with Alzheimer's, you know, a lot of times, you know, I mean, they are always confused, do not know what's going on, and it's your job, you know what I mean, my job as a caregiver to really take care of them and reassure them, you know what I mean? And sometimes when the family members actually come inside them to see them, and they have to watch and see how their family member is deteriorating through this disease, you know? And sometimes, too, it's so sad to me, too, when you see an actual husband and a wife, both of them with Alzheimer's, and then the children have to come, you know what I mean, to the nursing facility to actually, you know what I mean, to take care of them and make sure they're okay. To me, it's just heartbreaking when you see something like that, right? And, you know, that's what I'm saying. Alzheimer's, it just doesn't affect that person that's going through it. It also affects that family member as well. You know, because the family member has to deal with the person with Alzheimer's. Imagine, you know what I mean, you are home. And you realize, you know, your spouse starting to start to become confused. And now you got to have to put somebody you've been living with for the past 30, 40 years. Now you got to have to put that person into a facility. Because so a lot of times as family members, you cannot do it alone. It's hard. It's rough. You know what I mean? It's very rough. And that person now need 24-hour care. 24-hour care. Now, recognizing the start. The early warning signs, right? Alzheimer's often sneak in quietly with subtle signs people dismiss at first. Repeating the same questions is a common early sign. Forgetting important dates or conversations become frequent. People may misplace items and accuse others of stealing. They may get lost while driving a familiar route. Personality changes can happen. Someone sweet may suddenly become suspicious or angry. Decision-making become harder, affecting finances, cooking, and daily tasks. People may struggle with words, pausing mid-sentence, or using the wrong names. Routine tasks like paying bills or using the phone can become confusing. Loved ones notice but don't want to admit something is wrong. Denial happens out of fear. Early diagnosis gives families time to plan and start treatment options. Catching symptoms early allows for safety, preparation, and emotional support. If you see these signs, don't ignore them. Early conversations can change the journey. The earlier we face the truth, the better we can help. Because sometimes, you know, as a family member, and a lot of times, you know what I mean, we might see your family member is in a certain predicament, and we might not recognize it right away. You know what I mean? Because in the beginning, it's not prevalent to you, especially if you know this person, right? It's not prevalent to you right away. You know what I mean? But sometimes, though, man, it's good to really get out there and, you know, once you start seeing certain signs, it might not be nothing, right? Right? It might not be nothing, but it's good to just go to the doctor, just check out, right? Just like when I worked at a mental health hospital, and I always tell my patients them, is that, you know what I mean, when you get sick, get a cold or something like that, you go to the doctor, right? And your mental health is part of your mind, right? So in Alzheimer's, right, that's part of your mind too, right? When you see people, especially as a family member, you might, my mom's forgetting where I put my car keys at every minute, you know what I mean? And sometimes we are forgetful sometimes at times, right? We are, a lot of us are. But if you keep seeing a repetitive pattern of the same stuff, especially the thing that you know that they might not usually forget all the time, right? Listen for their speech pattern. You understand me? So the type of how they speak. You know what I mean? Are they speaking differently? Are they continuing to repeat the same word or same segment sentences over and over? Those little type of things really do matter, right? You know what I mean? See if they might be going off for a walk. You know, and they call you because they got a cell phone on them, and then they might forget where the house is. You know what I mean? On the routine walk, something similar to that effect. You know what I mean? The driving, they might forget where they're living at. All that matters, right? So when you see those small little signs, it's good to really take the loved one to a doctor just to check up. Doesn't have a checkup, because you'll never know. So Alzheimer's and community of color. Let's talk about that. Disparities in Black and Latino communities. So Alzheimer's doesn't affect all communities equally. Let me repeat that again. Alzheimer's doesn't affect all communities equally. Black Americans are statistically more likely to develop Alzheimer's than white Americans. Latino communities also see higher rates, often tied to complications like diabetes and high blood pressure. Access to healthcare and early diagnosis is often lower in our communities of color. Let me say that again. Access to healthcare and early diagnosis is often lower in communities of color. Many families mistake symptoms for stress or aging and delay getting help. Cultural pride sometimes makes us say they're fine, they're just getting old, right? Historically, mistrust in the medical system also plays a role, right? And really prevalent in the Black community, man, because of what they did to Black people. I'm not going to go into all the whole spiel, but what the medical community did to Black people back in the day, right? Really some serious mistrust today amongst the medical community when it comes to Black folks. So churches and community leaders can be powerful voices in educating families, man. You understand me, right? Like I said, the churches and community leaders can be powerful voices in educating family. They're not wrong when a pastor, right, when they're preaching the word of God, right? But 2 minutes out of the sermon, talk about Alzheimer's disease or any other disease, right? Talk about it. 2-3 minutes out of the sermon. You understand me? Let these people know. Go to the doctor. Tell you the congregation, right? The congregation. Go to the doctor. Get a checkup. In many Black and immigrant households, family members become caregivers without training or support. They have so many because a lot of times, you know what I mean, in the Black community, they don't have the resources or the help, so they have to take care of the elderly. You know what I mean? These caregivers show incredible strength and loyalty, but they often experience burnout because they try to carry everything alone. Breaking stigma and promoting education helps protect future generations. Alzheimer's is not a weakness. It's a medical diagnosis that deserves treatment and respect. Our elders deserve dignity, support, and proper health care at every stage, right? Our elders, and it doesn't matter your race, they all deserve the dignity. They all deserve to be taken care of, right? They all deserve the best care possible. Because, you know what I mean, when some of these family members, man, especially when they don't have the means, right? And a lot of them do not have the training to really take care of their family members. You know what I mean? So they have to rely on each other, right? They have to rely on the community, on each other to help out, taking shifts, working in shifts to make sure this family member is well taken care of, right? This elderly family member is well taken care of. So working on the Alzheimer's unit, right? Like I said, I worked on the Alzheimer's unit before. Real stories and humanity. So working on the Alzheimer's unit changes you forever. You see life differently. I saw patients who once led companies now confused about where they were. I saw strong men who served in the military reduced to tears because they couldn't remember their wife. Some still had humor. They would laugh, tell jokes, or dance in the hallway. Music would bring life into their eyes. like the past woke up inside of them. I'm going to tell you this, right? I remember with this one nursing facility that I worked in, and the activity person would come in and they'll play music. And they'll play like Patsy Cline, right? That's the first time I've ever heard of Patsy Cline, right? Back in the 90s, playing Patsy Cline. And I swear, me, right, a young man, fell in love listening to Patsy Cline. Those elderly patients at the time loved Patsy Cline, man. They were jamming to her music and every daggone thing, right? Yeah, man. So music helps out a lot too, right? Play the music, they love their music, the stuff that they used to when they was young. There were days they remembered everything, and days they didn't show their own name. They didn't know their own name. It's emotional because you bond with them. You listen to their stories, even if you hear them every day, right? You listen to them, man. They trust you. You become their safe person when the world feels unfamiliar. Some would wonder, looking for home, even though they were already there. Some would ask for their mother, even in their mid-80s, because memory doesn't follow time. Alzheimer's show you fragile humanity, and how humanity is, but also how strong love is. This job isn't about medicine. It's about compassion, patience, and humanity. You celebrate small victories, a smile, a moment of clarity, a peaceful day. Those experiences stay with you forever. They teach you gratitude, patience, and grace. Now, like I said, though, man, working on the Alzheimer's unit, and I really believe when I worked in the nursing home at that time, the Alzheimer's unit was actually one of my favorite units to work. You know what I mean? Because I was just there. You know, a lot of patients, a lot of them really need the help. You know what I mean? Of course, the help the best way possible, right? Some of them walk around very confused, but some of them you just listen to, and they just talk to you, right? All that, and talk to you about their olden days, their glorious days. You know what I mean? Sometimes from the military day, maybe from their Vietnam days, at the time, this was in the 90s, you know what I mean? The World War II days, when they fought in the war. And I love listening to those type of stories, man. When they actually talk about their past and talk about their family members and how they lived, how they grew up, where they were from, you know what I mean, how many children they have, all that, all those things I used to love listening to the past, you know what I mean, even when like the family members would come in and I'm there feeding their mom or the dad, and we would just discuss, and I would just ask them how they grew up. I'd just have a conversation with them, right? Ask them how they grew up and stuff like that, and they would happen, even the family members would have to share their past as well. So I'll just not only talk to patients and learn from them. And even sometimes, right, with some of these patients, residents inside the nursing facility, and you see like some pictures of when they were younger. And I'm like, damn, these people are some beautiful people when they were young, in the young, early days. They still look good now, right? Just the disease is making them who they are, right? But you know what I mean? When you look at them, I'm like, damn, they have some beautiful picture, man. The man is so handsome. The woman so beautiful in their young days. You know what I mean? See them in their little the black and white photos and everything. And even some of them are having on the military gear, right? And I'm like, man, you know what I mean? And it's so sad to see how they are when they reach that age, right? So just like I said, speaking with love. Communication is the key when caring for someone with Alzheimer's. Speak slowly, gently, and clearly. Frustration only creates fear. They may not understand your words, but they feel your energy. Hey, DJ, can I play some more music, please, DJ? I miss my music right now. Use short, simple sentences to avoid confusion. Avoid arguing. Logic doesn't work when memory is fading. Instead, redirect with kindness. Change the subject. Guide them calmly. Pictures and memory books can help trigger recognitions. Just like I said earlier about the pictures and stuff like that, right? Sometimes they might have, back then, like the old like photo albums, and we just sit down, look through the whole photo albums, and a lot of times, sometimes they can remember some of those things as well, right? Some of them can remember some of those things. You know what I mean? Also, music is powerful, man. It can unlock memories even when language fails. Imagine playing music that they listened to back in the day. Just like I said, people like Pastor Klein for the elderly folks, people like Loretta Lynn, you know what I mean, moved from back in those days that they love. Touch can comfort. A gentle hand or hug says you're safe, right? Don't be rough with them. Sometimes some of them could be a little bit irate. Sometimes it does happen, right? So why be rough with them? Talk to them, listen to them, and see what's going on in their mind. Because sometimes they might not tell you everything, but sometimes you might know what's wrong, right, by listening, right? They always said, once a man and twice a child, right? So you just have to figure it out as caregivers, right? Try to figure out what's going on with them. Routine brings security. Predictability helps reduce anxiety. And some of them can have anxiety. Because I've seen it where a resident one time, me and one of the staff members was talking, and one of the residents came up and just slapped the staff member in his face. And then she just started crying. Right? Because she didn't know what she was doing. You know what I mean? Because of her dementia. And she was a sweet, very sweet lady too, man. You know what I mean? But sometimes it brings back some of the anxiety too. Try entering their world instead of forcing them into ours. If they think it's 1965, sometimes it's okay to meet them there mentally, right? It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, to meet them where they are, right? Just like young people, right? Sometimes in today's time, you got to meet them where they are. It's the same thing with the elderly, they had dementia or Alzheimer's. Love is communication, even without words. The heart remembers what the brain forgets. The heart remembers what the brain forgets. Treatment options, right? There's the treatment options. Now, just like I said, I'm not a doctor, right? But similar research will tell you all this stuff. Slowing the progress. Today, there is no cure, but there are treatments that can slow symptoms. Medications like, let me see if I can pronounce this word, Donepezil, and memantine help maintain memory and function longer. New antibodies treatments are being tested to reduce plaques in the brain. Early diagnosis makes treatments more effective. Keeping the brain active through reading, puzzles, and conversations help maintain ability. Physical exercise improves brain health and slow decline. Diets rich in vegetables, fish, and whole grains are linked to better brain function. Blood pressure and diabetes control are critical to slowing the progression. Good sleep matters. The brain cleans itself at night. I'm talking to my DJ over there. Okay? She digging music right now. All right. Social interaction protects brain health. Isolation accelerates decline. Structure and routine help maintain confidence and independence. Occupational therapy teaches strategies to adapt to daily challenges, right? The activities of daily living, especially with people with Alzheimer's, man, it's good to do things with them, you know what I mean? So they can at least maintain some kind of sensibility. Treatment is not just medical. Emotional support is medicine too. Even without a cure, quality of life can still be meaningful and dignified, right? Right? You got to treat these clients, these patients, these residents with dignity and respect. You understand me? Because no matter what, that could be your parent, your grandparent right there. You understand me? And we got to treat these people with respect. You know what I mean? Sometimes, like I said, sometimes some of them could get a little bit irate right at you. Sometimes they might even curse you out. Let's be real. Right? This happens. They might call you all kinds of names. Trust me, I've been called all kinds of names back in the day, right? But as a caregiver, right, you still got to maintain respect for these, for them, right? And treat them with respect, because that could be your family member at all times, man. At any time. Could be your family member. That's why we got to treat them with respect and care. And we got to care for them no matter what. So hope and future cures, right? The science of tomorrow. Scientists around the world are working tirelessly to find a cure. Now, research is focusing on preventing plaques before symptoms start. Blood tests are being developed to detect Alzheimer's early, years before memory loss shows. AI technology is learning to identify early brain changes through scans and speech patterns. Some treatments aim to remove toxic proteins from the brain. Gene therapy research is looking at correcting risk factors at the DNA level. And that's something, let me say that again. Gene therapy research is looking at correcting risk factors at the DNA level. So imagine if somebody in your family members, man, has it, right? And this the gene therapy they were talking about become prevalent more and more. Imagine how much people could get help before they even realize it. It can happen one day in the future. There are clinical trials happening right now that could change the future of medicine. Future generations may have vaccines against Alzheimer's. But we must support research. Cures don't appear without investment and awareness. Every breakthrough began because someone believed in hope. Families who participate in research contribute to progress for the world, for the whole world. We are closer to answers today than at any point in history. Think about it, right? We're close to answer. And I believe within the next 10 years, though, man, there's going to be some kind of cure, some kind of really good treatment for Alzheimer's, right? It's going to be a breakthrough. I bet you that. That's what I feel, right? I'm very optimistic within the next 10 years that there's going to be some kind of, like, a really good treatment, you know what I mean? Or some kind of cure for the disease. Hope is not just wishful thinking. It's science, dedication, and time. One day, we will look back and say that we beat the disease. Okay. I really believe that. I really believe that one day that there will be some kind of cure for it. So hidden heroes, right? Caregivers are the silent warriors of all time of battle. Caregivers, the doctors, the nurses, the CNA, anybody, the family members, you know what I mean? The caregivers, man. Many are family members who never expected to become full-time nurses and emotional support. They balance jobs, children, and caregiving, often without rest. They sacrifice sleep, finances, and mental peace out of love. Caregiving is beautiful, but it's also exhausting and overwhelming. Burnout is real. Stress, depression, and health problems often follow caregivers. Many feel guilt even when they are doing everything they can. They need support emotionally, physically, and financially. Asking for help is not weakness, it is survival. Support groups give strength through shared experiences. Faith, prayer, and community can help hold someone together during this journey. Caregivers deserve recognition, respect, and relief. We honor them for their patience, compassion, and strength. Without caregivers, this fight would be impossible. They are the heartbeat of Alzheimer's care. Like I said, caregivers are the heartbeat of Alzheimer's care. Let me say it one more time. Caregivers are the fight, right? Caregivers are the heartbeat of Alzheimer's care, okay? They really are. And I really believe that these caregivers, though, you know what I mean? Without the caregivers, think about it, right? Because especially once a doctor has done his or her job, and then that person is in a facility or whatever, who are they going to see first? The nurses and the CNAs, they're going to see first a lot more. And they are the heartbeat. So now, faith, love, and dignity. No self, right? Faith, love, and dignity. Sometimes the only answers you have left are love and faith. Even when memory fades, the soul remains, and God sees them whole. And even when a person forgets who you are, God never forgets who they are. Dignity is not based on memory. Dignity, it is based on humanity. In this journey, love is medicine, patience is strength, and presence is victory. Now, let's do some call to action now. So, call to action, right? Sometimes you might have an elderly person probably by themselves. Check on them, man. Check on your elders, man, within your community, okay? Go to the house, make sure they're okay. They don't need nothing. Support caregivers. They are fighting quiet battles every day. Have conversations about memory health early. Do not wait until the last minute. Share knowledge, spread awareness, and be patient with those struggling with Alzheimer's, right? Be patient with those struggling. Alzheimer's steal memories, but we refuse to let it steal dignity, love, or hope, right? Like I said, Alzheimer's steal memory, man. You know what I mean? And I'm telling you right now, right? Just like I said earlier, it's really good to really, you know what I'm saying, please check on your loved one. Make sure they're good. If you see and science are a little bit different from what is of the norm, right? It might, you know, it might not be nothing, right? Everything like a repetitive pattern. Go, please, take them to the doctor. Make sure your family member is okay, because you never know if you could catch, if you're going to be able to catch it early and see what's going on in their mind, right? Especially like within the African-American community, because the African-American community is more prevalent in catching Alzheimer's disease than any other community, the African-American and the Hispanic community, right? So it's really good to really go and check out your family, make sure your family members, right, is okay, you know what I mean? And if you do have a family member that do succumb to that disease, or do have that disease, right? I'm telling you, support system is to me, is necessary. Excuse me. It's good to have the Dagon support system. You know what I mean? Because you as a family member, you're trying to do it alone. But to me, it's not good to really do everything alone, because you too will need that help. Okay? You too will need, you know what I'm saying, to take a break sometimes. You know what I mean? Because that family member might be living with you, right? And there's nothing wrong with asking for help, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. All right. Thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.